You're catching the drift. Conservative talk, intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings. Join in the conversation. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of The Drift, now on podcast, coming from our studio in Hamburg, Michigan. And good to have you along for another ride. Thank you for tuning in to catch my drift here on Drift Radio. Welcome to the show. And what we do on The Drift is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. So make sure you're checking it out. I spend a little time every day putting up the news that you don't get from the mainstream media. And perusing the internet from across the world and around the nation here, and put it on there so you can check it out. And so here we are. And it's been a wild ride. I didn't do a podcast last week. I kind of got busy and laid up and couldn't do it. So I've been ready to vent and ready to get into this. So I'm glad to be back and on the air. And well, we're still working, you know. I'm still trying to get this studio. It looks like a studio in here, but you know what? It's not quite there yet. I keep playing with my equipment, and it's pretty complicated. And I've been working with my buddy Ash Hampton. He's got his own show, and I think I'm doing things the hard way, if you know what I mean. But we're going to try and figure it out. So if you're not doing that, check out Ash Hampton. You can catch him on Facebook and check out his show, because he's doing a heck of a... well, he's just naturally talented anyway. He's got a better voice than I do. I need to smoke a lot of cigarettes and do a lot of drinking to get my voice down where his is. So, good to be back, and we're going to talk about quite a few things, and we'll start out with of course, the impeachment trial. And if you've been following it, I try to follow it while I'm at work, catching snippets here and there in the radio, and try and listen when I can if I'm not in a meeting or something. But are you as aggravated as I am? Holy cow, am I aggravated. I mean, it's a wonder that I can sleep at night. You know, this is my constitution must now be immune to this garbage that I have to listen to daily. You want to talk about shoveling some shit? Damn, that Adam Schiff sure does know how to shovel it, man, doesn't he? He's appropriately named Schiff. What a shift show that is. Oh, my God. Just the man gets away with lies, and nobody does anything about it. I'm aggravated watching Supreme Court Justice Roberts allow this flat-out lying and the insulting manner of these Democrats. Listen, America, all I can say is this. In November 3rd, you have a chance to put an end to this complete and utter nonsense that we're seeing on a daily basis from these people that call themselves Democrats. And let me tell you something. It's not just those Democrats in the House of Representatives. It's not the Democrats in the Senate. It's the Democrats at your state level, at your county level, at your township level, at your city level, at your school board level. These people are literally trying to destroy the America that you and I grew up with. They're trying to destroy America and change it so that our children and our grandchildren will not know what is coming up. I listen to my kid come home and talk to me about U.S. history class and other things, and I am disappointed to say the very least. I moved him from one school recently, and I'm just going to call it out, Plymouth Canton Schools here in Michigan. Plymouth Canton Schools, full of liberal teachers, indoctrinated in their colleges and universities, wherever they came from, and they're spreading this socialist, social justice warrior garbage to our children. And that kind of crap needs to end. I'm on fire tonight. I'm angry, and I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to let loose a little bit tonight, because this is an outrage, and watching the culmination of this impeachment sham, this shampeachment that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Jerry Nadler are trying to shove down our throats on a daily. It's disgusting. These people need to be arrested, investigated, tried, and convicted for sedition and treason. For 4 years now, they've been beating up on Donald Trump. And for 3 years while he's been president, they've been committing treason. This is a coup, no ifs, ands, or buts. You know it, and I know it. And I know it, you know it, because you wouldn't be listening to me if you didn't. Anyways, what we need to do over the next 9 months is prepare ourselves and talk to as many people as we can about the saving of the Republic, right? I know it sounds cliche, but it's what each and every one of us has to do, because you have seen what these Democrats and the Democratic-controlled media, or does the media control the Democrats? I don't know. You can put your conspiracy hat on. I like me a good conspiracy, don't get me wrong. But they are one and the same. The Democrats, the mainstream media, they are one and the same. Even Fox News at this point is really aggravated. I listen to the talk radio in the car all the time. And when Fox News comes on at the bottom and the top of the hour, you know what, during this impeachment stuff, I always got the clips from Adam Schiff, from Jerry Nadler. I never got the clips of the defense team. Never. And it just drives me absolutely insane. For the first 2 days of the impeachment trial, when the House managers, the prosecution, made their case, it was nonstop. You had nonstop coverage on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS. It was nonstop. They showed everything. You got the full, and then at the bottom and top of the hour, it didn't matter if you were on Fox News, ABC News, whatever, on the radio, you were getting Adam Schiff, talking points, Jerry Nadler, talking points, Chuck Schumer, talking points. Every time they went out and spoke, the mainstream media is right there, fawning over them, listening to them, forcing it into our ears. But did you notice? And it aggravated me that the defense started on Saturday. Dead time, as far as radio or TV or anything else concerned. But even on Monday, after it picked up again, bottom and top of the hour, do you think you'd hear the snippets of Jay Sekulow or Philbin or the defense team at all for the president? No, I still got the talking points of Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, Schiff. It's enough to drive me crazy. You want it? That alone should tell people. And listening today on the news, and I saw it again, 100% of the mainstream media coverage of Donald Trump's defense team in the Senate impeachment was 100% negative. 100% negative. And the defense team over the last week and a half, 95% positive. How do you fight that as a country? How do you fight that as a population? Well, you need to open your ears and open your eyes and pay attention to the garbage they're spewing. And I think a lot of us are. I mean, that's why Donald Trump's polling numbers are looking good. Hey, you know what? Even I, a couple years ago, after Barack Obama got a second term in office, I thought, oh my God, we've dumbed ourselves down so much the American people don't know. I don't believe that anymore, because I'm listening to people. At the gas station, at the store, at work, I'm hearing people. And sure, you've got even the people that don't like Trump, when you start talking to them and you try to be reasonable, which is tough for a guy like me, because you know what? I'm excitable. I'm an excitable guy. I get emotional. I'm passionate about America and about my freedoms and about the Constitution. These are all things that I'm very passionate about, but I try to listen. And I don't know how I come across on the radio. At when I was on terrestrial radio, I think I was probably a little less inclined to be as vocal as I am now. But I'm hearing people on the streets, and even the ones that hate Donald Trump, oh, he's not presidential enough. He needs to stop with the treats. He's obnoxious. He's rude. And I've had some of them say, oh, he's doing things illegal. When you question them on it, these people can't really say anything. They're just mouthing the talking points that they're getting from MSNBC, ABC, whatever, Hardball, Chris Matthews, and the rest of the stuff. But they always have to admit, yes, my 401k is much better. Yes, the economy is doing pretty good. I'll give them that. Yes, our military is stronger. I'll give them. If you point to those positive things, and this is where Donald Trump for this year has to be very careful. I mean, I'm not saying cut it back or tone it down at all. But what I am saying the administration has to do, and the Trump campaign has to do, and Donald Trump himself, our POTUS, has to go out and run on his record. Because the record that he has since he has taken office is impeccable. And some of the polling that you're seeing out this week is impeccable. The polling numbers for Donald Trump, for people saying race relations are better now than when he took office in 2016, it's higher. For all the race baiting and for all the calling of Donald Trump a racist that the mainstream media, the Democrats, the liberals, the socialists are doing, the American people on the whole believe that we have better race relations in 2020, January, than we did when he took office in 2017. Excuse me. And that's amazing. That is a fact and a figure that is absolutely amazing. It's pretty constant now. You're seeing African-American approval ratings for Donald Trump anywhere from 20 to 30%. And maybe this is why Democrats are just so absolutely crazy with the impeachment and everything else. I mean, they're literally throwing everything but the kitchen sink at him. You know, as this wound up today, as the Senate starts to look like they're just going to say, no more witnesses, we've seen enough of this garbage, we're going to turn it off, and that may be Wednesday. Don't get me started. We'll get to that point later. I'm not going to jump to that. The Democrats have already started their next mudslinging. It's that ugly lady in New York who's now saying, yes, Donald Trump raped me in a dressing room at Tiffany's or wherever in New York, right? And if you look at this lady, she ain't good looking now. And I can guarantee you, I haven't gone back to look at what she looked like when she was younger, but there's no way Donald Trump or any other man would risk raping that lady in a dressing room anywhere, let alone, I got to think, looking at that lady, I'd be like, I'm just saying no, lady. Even if you feed me a lot of booze, I'm probably going to tell you no, because you ain't good looking now, and I'm doubting that you were good looking late earlier when you were younger. But I digress. But here's what's going on. The Democrats are so scared, and they're so worried about the Durham report, and they're so worried about all the garbage and corruption that's going to get uncovered if Trump keeps draining the swamp, that they're throwing everything at him. If they've already set it up. You've heard the pundits talking about it. They're already trying to say the acquittal means nothing. It was an unfair acquittal. The Republicans in Congress didn't ask for witnesses and tests. Screw you. You didn't ask for proper witnesses and evidence in the House. And so now you want to throw it on the Republicans? And Philbin hit that today. Really good. You can't blame the Republicans in the Senate for the garbage and the miscommunications and the lack of work that the Democrats did in the House. Well, let's be honest. John Bolton, right? You want the Senate to subpoena John Bolton. John Bolton saying, yeah, I'll come talk to you. Why wouldn't he want to talk? He's got a book coming out. Anything that he does at this point is going to help him sell book. He is going to be multi. He'll never have to do a speaking engagement or do anything else ever again. And by the way, John Bolton in this last week was in Qatar. He might be in Qatar right now. Qatar, right? That country, the one that they talk about was funding Ilhan Omar to come over here and be a deep state operative to get into the United States Congress, right? That one, that country, the country that Saudi Arabia is not super happy with right now. Why is John Bolton over there? Was he looking for a job? Getting some money? Getting instruction? I don't know. I'll be honest. I kind of always liked John Bolton because he's like me. He's in your face. He's a bit of a war hawk. Yeah. You know, America needs to be a little on the hawkish side because don't get pushed around. That's the way it is. But I've lost a lot of respect for him because I think Donald Trump is by no means a war hawk, but Donald Trump is not a guy to be bullied and not a guy to sit back passively and take a punch. You punch at Trump. And I tried to explain this to somebody at work today. You go find me a place where Donald Trump went after somebody, provoked something without being hit first. Find me that, please. Gary@thedailydrift.com. You find it, email me. Video, audio, whatever. I don't think, because we would have seen it already, if you could have found some place, some video, some audio, some proof of Donald Trump provoking somebody, calling them a name, going after them before he got gone after, find it. Send it to me. I defy you and I challenge you to go find that, because I don't believe that you'll ever see Donald Trump poking the bear. I don't see it. But let's get back to Bolton, because, you know, here's what I want to play you. You know, all this talk about we want Bolton to testify. Well, Bolton did testify in audio on Radio Free Europe. And you want to know what he said mere days after the second phone conversation that Donald Trump had with newly elected president of Ukraine, Zelensky. Okay, so here's John Bolton doing an interview, Radio Free Europe. Hang tight. Here we go. Ready?
Do you plan to meet President Zelensky, and what messages did you bring to him?
Well, I will be meeting President Zelensky. He and President Trump have already spoken twice. President called to congratulate President Zelensky on his election and then on his success in the parliamentary election. They were very warm and cordial calls. We're hoping that they'll be able to meet in Warsaw and have a few minutes together, because the success of Ukraine, maintaining its freedom, its system of representative government, a free market economy free of corruption, and dealing with the problems of the Donbass and the Crimea are high priorities here, obviously, but high priorities for the United States as well.
Okay, so there you go. And if you watch the video, and I'm going to put the video up on Saturday's Daily Drift. I'm a big believer in body language. Now, either John Bolton is one of the world's best liars, and maybe that's a fact. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a good liar. But you watch the eyes, you watch the body language as he's speaking to the interviewer, who's European of some sort. He doesn't strike me as a guy who's worried that the phone call that he witnessed, the last two phone calls he just witnessed with President Trump and President Zelensky, that there was an issue, that there was a problem, that there was something heinous going on that he couldn't deal with. You know why John Bolton left? John Bolton's a war hawk. He wanted to go after North Korea. Trump said, you know what? I'm not going to go after you, North Korea. Let's give peace a chance. Donald Trump didn't go after Iran when John Bolton wanted to. When Iran shot down that very expensive drone, Donald Trump was given the option, we can go after them. How many people is it going to kill? It's going to kill about 150 people if we hit them hard where we want to hit them. No, we're not going to kill 150 people because, you know, we didn't lose anybody with that drone going down. He draws the line. People that call Donald Trump some warmonger are out of their bloody minds. This is a guy who, if you want to take all the, say he's not compassionate, say he's the most selfish, self-centered, whatever. If that's the case, then at least he's putting money, because you know what? The world makes money in peacetime. It doesn't always have to make money in wartime. I don't believe any of that. I believe Donald Trump is a born-again Christian. I believe that he has the best intentions for our country. Here's a guy who's making, he's not this in this for himself. How many times did we hear Adam Schiff say in the House hearings and in the Senate trial that Donald Trump is in it for himself? He's doing all this to promote himself, to get elected. Why? He wants to get elected for another 4 years of making no money? His net value has gone down since he's taken office. This is the first president in United States history to actually lose net value since he's taken office. Isn't that crazy? Look at Barack Obama walks out. He went into the office not a millionaire. And now he just bought a $15 million house in Martha's Vineyard on the ocean, by the way. Let's not get started on the climate change nonsense, the hoax that they're pulling there. But it's a scam, folks. You've got to understand what the Democrats are doing. And think long and hard over the next 9 months of what it is that they will do to you. Because if they can get away with destroying the President of the United States, imagine what they'll do to you. What they'll do to me. Your family, your friends, your relatives, your co-workers. If any of you speak out, this is what they'll do to you. They've been doing it for you. Look what they did. Look what Barack Obama did with the IRS on those conservative groups. This is what the Democrats, they want control. This is about nothing other than complete and utter control over you and me, our lives. The Green New Deal, really? What we can eat, what we can drive, what we can't drive, that we should stay home and all live in a 900-square-foot apartment? You can't have a home. You've got too much money. I'm taking that away from you. We've got 12 people down the street living under the freeway. They deserve, you know, a 500-square-foot apartment. So you're going to lose your home, or we're going to put you in an apartment. Yeah, this is what the Democrat, and this is the choice you have to make between now and November. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to vote? Are you going to do more than vote? You need to talk to people. You need to talk to your children, especially your grandchildren. If you're an older person, get hold of your grandchildren. Make them aware. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. I see a lot of young people. And of course, they're Bernie supporters and they're liberals. They have a heart, blah, 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 whatever. It's amazing what 10 years in the workforce can do when you've paid 10 years worth of taxes. 38% of your income going straight to the federal and state governments. Whoop, it's just, I don't know where that money went. You ain't getting it back. Oh, but you get roads. No, you don't. You pay gas tax for those roads. You're not getting, if you're like the average hardworking American, you pay 28% to 38%, and you're not getting anything back, folks. And you get your military. I'll pay for the military all day long. These are the guys that make our life possible. And I'll pay for the Veterans Administration. Those are the guys that deserve to be taken care of. But I'm certainly not going to be agreeing to pay for the health care of somebody who crossed the border illegally or somebody who came here to give birth to a baby so that they could get freebies. I work damn hard for my money. I've been working on the books since I was 14 years old. That was my first paycheck. Seeing that money go to the federal income tax and FICA and everything else. You know, I started at 10 doing delivery paper route, and I don't remember filing taxes from the age of 10. I do remember my first job, and I was kind of a maintenance guy. That was my job. I cleaned toilets, locker rooms, racquetball courts. That was my job. It was a great job, actually. I got to take care of the candy machines, too. And I can say this now because 7 years, I used to eat some of that candy out of the candy machine. Those were great days. I remember that. Lots of candy, zits, the whole nine yards. But I digress. Okay, so speaking of which, I want to talk about Rand Paul, who had a question because they're in the question and answer period today. They were. It's Friday. and Rand Paul had a question for the defense, or not the defense team, for the House Managers team. And at this point, you, as a senator, you submit your question to Chief Justice Roberts, and he will read that question, and then it will be answered. So they say. Well, let's listen to what happened when Senator Rand Paul tried to ask, and listen closely.
Ms. Manager.
Mr. Chief Justice.
Senator from Kentucky.
I have a question to present to the desk for the House Manager Schiff and for the President's Counsel.
Thank you. The presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted.
So, Chief Justice Roberts refused to read the question. So, if Chief Justice Roberts refused to read the question, let's hear from Rand Paul himself, who had a press conference afterward about what it was he wanted to ask. So, hang tight and let's listen to this.
As you may have noticed, we had something slightly atypical downstairs. I asked a question, and the question was refused. Now, it's been reported that this question's about this or about that, and it's been refused for one reason or another. I can tell you that my question made no reference to any whistleblower or any kind of person, a complainant from a whistleblower. But I will read you the question so it can be made part of the public record. Manager Schiff and counsel for the President, are you aware that House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko has a close relationship with Eric Chiaramella when at the National Security Council together? Are you aware, and how do you respond to reports that Chiaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot the impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings? I think this is an important question, one that deserves to be asked. It makes no reference to anybody who may or may not be a whistleblower. The manager Schiff says he has no knowledge. If he has no knowledge, the rest of us can have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. The president's team says they have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. I think it was an incorrect finding to not allow a question that makes no reference. It means that anybody ever said might have been a whistleblower could never be discussed in a proceeding. I think it's very important whether or not a group of Democratic activists, part of the Obama-Biden administration, were working together for years looking for an opportunity to impeach the president. With that, I'll take a few questions.
Okay, so there you go. Sean Misko used to work on the NSC with Eric Chiaramella, and I'm going to say it, Eric Chiaramella is the whistleblower. Nobody wants to say it in government. Most of the mainstream media won't say, I'm saying it, Eric Chiaramella, Eric Chiaramella, Eric Chiaramella. This is the dude who's the alleged whistleblower. So there's allegedly a person who can testify that Sean Misko, Eric Chiaramella, and Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who's actually a Ukrainian or Russian, whatever, him and his twin brother, who still sits on the National Security Commission, right? That these people were actively plotting to get rid of Donald Trump from day one. Actively plotting from day one to get rid of the duly elected President of the United States. That is a coup. That is treason. That is sedition. Now, I've suffered on Twitter a number of times for using the word hang or hanging for treason. I've had my share of suspensions. You can't use the word hang on Twitter. Bear in mind, you will be suspended as I have been on multiple occasions. And you find these people, once they find one, they go back and they find two or three, and so you get suspended for using the term two or three times, right? I have to be very careful on Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, you need to be on Twitter, and you can reach me at Gary Daily Drift on Twitter. Follow me, I'll follow you. And I think I'm at 23,000 followers or whatever it is, but Twitter is my favorite social media, so make sure you're going there. But the point is, Rand Paul is making here is that how can somebody be a whistleblower? Laws to protect whistleblowers from being punished or suffering retribution or losing their job. There are no laws that make a whistleblower completely anonymous. You violate one of the Bill of Rights when you do this. You know what it is? It's called the Sixth Amendment. Shall I read the Sixth Amendment for you? Let me read the Sixth Amendment for you, straight out from the Bill of Rights, okay? In all criminal prosecutions, impeachment is a criminal prosecution, if you haven't figured it out, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Now, the Democrats have certainly gone speedy because they did in 78 days what Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon took years, over a year to do, right? By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. Okay? In this case, jurisdiction belongs to the Senate and the House. And, of course, you'll be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. Well, the Democrats have certainly been very accusatory. To be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. The real key there is to be confronted with the witnesses against him. And what that means is, it goes back to that the basic part of the Sixth Amendment, that a person accused of a crime has the right to confront a witness against him or her in a criminal action. You have the right. That's the Sixth Amendment. Somebody says you did something, you have a right to sit in court, look at that person, have that person accuse you, and then defend yourself against him. This whistleblower that, in this instance, everybody knows. Every so-called journalist, everybody in Washington, D.C., every senator, every congressman, every lobbyist, every lawyer, everybody in Washington, D.C., and many people across the country at this point know that the whistleblower, the alleged whistleblower, the supposed whistleblower, is Eric Shirmella, who worked for Obama. And if Donald Trump is guilty of anything in the last 3 years, it's for being too nice and not firing every Obama appointee anywhere near him, in any department, in the White House, in the Department of Justice, in the FBI. He should have just... But how is he to know that it would be this ugly? I'm sure Donald Trump knew there was corruption. I'm sure he did. I'm betting to this day he is amazed, confounded, and completely disappointed that the corruption in our government is so bad that he could trust nobody when he got to Washington, D.C. Even some of the people that he ended up hiring and bringing in at certain points, not to be trusted. But that's what happens when somebody from outside the D.C. Beltway goes in and tries to enact what we want as voters. Because let's be honest, 63 million of us voted for Donald Trump, a complete outsider. Here's a guy, big businessman, successful, Hollywood guy, the whole nine yards, TV, movies. Everybody knew Donald Trump. But he had nothing to do with politics other than he would pay donations to politicians on either side, Republicans and Democrats. He didn't care. He had a job to do. And if you had to donate to campaigns to get things done, that's the way business has always been done in this country. That was his biggest attempt at being a politician, trying to sway politicians to help him out in his business. That's the American way, folks. I'm sorry, that's just it, right? You can call it greed, bribery, whatever. You know, we don't call it bribery in this country. We call it political donations. It's lobbying. It's what you do. But that was Donald Trump. But he went into Washington, D.C. When he said he was going to drain the swamp, he meant he was going to drain the swamp. And the swamp people, the swamp creatures, these denizens of the swamp, are not happy that they're free ride, because that's what they've been getting for decades on us. You want to know why the national debt is as high as it is? Because that money's going somewhere. You think it's just getting spent in a good manner? Not a chance. Corruption all over the place. And it's high time. This is the sea change. Donald Trump is the sea change that is causing this ruckus in Washington, D.C. And this is why the swamp, the Republicans, the rhinos, the never-Trumpers, the Democrats, the mainstream media, all these people that have their little hands in our honeypot are mad that their honeypot's being taken away from them. Donald Trump is doing that, and he's doing it for us. The guy doesn't take the salary, the $400,000 a year salary. That's, you know, 150 grand a year, whatever it is, or every quarter. He's giving it away to different departments of government, the veterans, the national parks. He's not taking his salary. This is a guy whose net value has gone down since he's taken office. That's the first president ever to have that happen. So you can't think that Donald Trump is doing things in a bad manner. He's doing things to help each and every one of us. So we'll wait and see what's going to go on over the weekend with the impeachment trial. Late this afternoon, we were hearing stories that Mitch McConnell is kind of backing down a little bit on holding an immediate acquittal vote, and that there's, and there's always more than we know, right? There's a lot more to these stories. But now it's an alleged report that Mitch McConnell will give Chuck Schumer and the Democrats some more time to make some more final arguments to continue beating their drum, beating the dead horse for this impeachment, but that acquittal vote will come like Wednesday after the State of the Union. Now imagine that. How disrespectful is this to be pushed beyond to the point where Donald Trump now has to go to the State of the Union with this hanging over his head and make not only the State of the Union address as to where we are as a country, our successes, our failures, our goals for the upcoming year, but we have this damn impeachment hanging over his head. That's just wrong. And it's wrong for the Republicans. Not, they should have just had this shut down right at the beginning. I know a lot of us, including myself, at a certain point, wanted to open up the witness. Give us the witnesses. If you want Bolton, you go ahead and have Bolton. But I want Hunter Biden. I want Cherumella. I want all of them. I want the Schiff. I want the staffers. I want Nancy Pelosi. I want Hunter Biden. I want Joe Biden. Hell, bring in President Zelensky from Ukraine. Let's bring in Shokin, the previous prosecutor that Joe Biden forced out of office because he was extorting Ukraine to get rid of the prosecutor who was trying to investigate it. I wanted it all. And I'm hoping when we see all these tweets from Lindsey Graham that he's going to go after this one. This is all said and done, that we're still going to get some investigation into the corruption in Ukraine and the relation of that corruption in Ukraine to the Democratic Party, because it needs to happen. We, the people of the United States, need to know where those billions of dollars that went into Ukraine, where that money went. Did it come back to America? Did it come back into the certain pockets of certain people? Nancy Pelosi's got a nephew or a son who works for Ukraine. Mitt Romney's got a former staffer who works on a board of Ukraine. Adam Schiff has gotten money back in donations from Ukrainian people. There's been a lot of Ukrainian donations to politicians here in the United States. On both sides of the aisle, we need to know who those people are. I want to know who those people are, because billions of our dollars are gone. That went into Ukraine and never came back out. And Ukrainian people didn't see him either. So there's corruption there. We need to root it out and find out what's going on. Okay, enough impeachment. I don't want to spend the entire hour on this. And we might cut it short tonight just because it's Friday night. I'd like to try and enjoy my evening a little bit. But there was an article we put up on the Daily Drift today. And again, if you're not going to the Daily Drift, please do. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. And I work on it every day, put it out there. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. You can have it delivered to your inbox every day if you want, so you don't have to actually type into the website. If you put your email in there, I don't sell it. I don't track it. I don't know anything about it. You don't have to worry about it. It's a freebie. When I say free, it's free. This is me doing this absolutely free, so you can go into it. But we put a story on there about Bernie Sanders, who's probably going to win Iowa. You think? I'm betting he's going to win on Monday his Iowa caucus. Bernie Sanders' campaign is preparing dozens of executive orders to bypass Congress in his first days in office. Does that sound interesting to you? Does that sound Stalinistic to you? Well, that's what let's go. Bernie, who spent his honeymoon in Russia back when the Soviet Union was still there, right? In anticipation of his winning the 2020 presidential election, the campaign for Senator Bernie Sanders is preparing dozens of executive orders that he could unilaterally enact in his first days in office, bypassing Congress in doing so. What are the details? Does that sound odd that Bernie would do? No, not likable old Grandpa Bernie. He wouldn't do that, would he? Aides have presented Sanders with a list of possible executive actions, including more than a dozen for reversing President Trump's immigration policy, such as lifting the cap on the number of refugees accepted in the United States. If you haven't been paying attention, you should. Donald Trump has severely curtailed the amount of immigration coming into the country. The United States takes in 1 million people legally every year. Donald Trump is put very sharp parameters on that. And that's important because you know what? The more people you have in the country, the lower the wages get. You wonder why wages have gone up the last year? Because we've kind of curtailed the amount of people coming in legally. Now, we've also curtailed the number of people coming in illegally. You can get into that in separate. But it's again, it's the successes that Donald Trump, when you talk about promises made, promises kept, Donald Trump is doing all of that. Also from Bernie, halting border wall construction immediately. Another option is the reinstatement of an Obama-era program that granted legal status to all undocumented immigrants brought to America as children. DACA, right? So here's another one. Declaring climate change a national emergency and banning the exportation of crude oil. So declaring climate change an emergency means Bernie can do whatever he wants. It's a national emergency. Oh, let's shut down every coal plant? It's a national emergency. Stop driving your cars? It's a national emergency. Stop buying gas. Turn your heat down to 50 degrees. Really? What exactly does a national emergency do? And what does that mean Bernie's going to ask all of us or force all of us to do? Banning the exportation of crude oil? The United States, for the first time, just became a net exporter of oil and natural gas. Meaning, we don't have to rely on the Middle East. We don't have to rely on Russia. You know, if the Middle East explodes and becomes an inferno of war and whatnot, a hotbed, we've got enough ability to make our own natural oil and natural gas that we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to get in the middle of that. It's not going to affect us that adversely. We won't have the lines of the oil embargo in the 70s because we can produce it ourselves. That's one of those things, right? He could also reverse federal rules blocking U.S. funding to organizations that provide abortion funding and counseling. So, well, hell, if you're a pro-lifer, bad news having Bernie in there, right? And also canceling federal contracts for firms that pay less than the $15 an hour minimum wage. Really? Once again, interfering in the free market economy by forcing $15 wages. We've already seen what happened in Seattle, right? The city of Seattle went ahead and did their $15 an hour minimum wage, and tons of businesses and coffee shops and restaurants all shut down. Yeah, that's real smart. That helped a lot, didn't it? But it goes to show you what socialism is. I just look south of the border. Socialism destroys everything it touches, much like Islam. I won't go there right now, anyways, not in this show. But socialism destroys. Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, who claims to be the moderate, sure has a lot of socialistic tendencies in him, doesn't he? Pete Buttigieg, another one. Yeah, the Democratic Party is a socialist party. And another reason why you need to not vote for them. And even more importantly, teach your children about the evils of socialism and the benefits of capitalism. Because capitalism is what's keeping us all squared away and making things successful right now. Have you not noticed where the economy is? That's because of less government regulation, less government control, and lower taxes. That's why the government has done the right thing for us under Trump. It's making things more successful. Okay, so we can switch gears here. I want to go after one more thing, and that would be talking about China and the novel coronavirus. And I only doing this maybe as my own PSA. Is China lying to us? You know, they originally said this was about the Wuhan market and that there was some virus that came out of bats or snakes or some crazy food that the Chinese seem to eat over there. And if you haven't seen some of those crazy things, yeah, some of the stuff people eat in China and in the Far East is not my cup of tea. Maybe that's their cultural thing. Frankly, it strikes me as being a tad dangerous. I'm just saying. So to educate yourselves and myself, looking at an article from Science Mag, and I'll try and put this link up as well because it's a little dry, but it's about the genomes of viruses. And what they're saying is that this new novel coronavirus coming out of Wuhan, the gene sequence has a 96.2 similarity to a bat virus. And so maybe it's the bat somehow that transferred first to human beings. Now, can you buy bats in the Wuhan food market? Yes, people do eat bat soup and some of that other crazy stuff. Kind of joking on Twitter and all, but it's true. People do eat things like that. There was an early report that it was related more to snakes, and we had that up on the Daily Drift earlier in the week, but I don't know that that's true looking at this report in Science Magazine. This current novel virus also has a 79.5% similarity to the coronavirus that caused SARS, whose initial outbreak was in China 15 years ago. And so there's a lot of things going on with this virus. But the big takeaway is a little precaution is helpful. You know, my kid goes to school, I say the same thing that I normally say during flu season. Hey, open door handles and doors with your sleeve. And if you've got a long coat or a hoodie like they like to wear nowadays, open the door with your sleeve. I even do that at work. I'm cold at work. I'm normally wearing some kind of a fuzzy or something, and the sleeves are long, and I open doors and touch the water fountain with my sleeve. I don't always use my hand. I wash my hands as often as I can. I cover my coughs or put them inside my jacket or into my arm or whatever. Turn away from people, leave the room if I have to sneeze. Those are the kind of things that each and every one of us should do. But take the next step, too, because there's 65 million people right now in China that are quarantined. That's a lot of people, right? And the report you're getting out of China is that the streets are empty, that people are in their homes, they're not coming out. Well, it's China. It's a communist government. When they tell you stay in your home, they're not asking you to stay in your home. They are telling you in communist China, you stay in your home. Don't be coming out. Well, I hope they have enough food in those homes to last for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long they're going to be in there. It's already been over a week. I wonder about those people who in China, maybe not as wealthy as us, do they have 2 weeks of food in the house? Do they have 3 weeks of food? So should it jump? Should it happen? Should something escape and it makes its way over here? Wouldn't hurt to probably spend a couple extra bucks and get yourself some extra a week's worth or 2 weeks worth of ramen noodles or kidney beans or black beans or whatever in the house. You know, make sure you've got some additional food in the house in case something happens. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I don't want to scare anybody, but it's kind of what we need to do, right? So, anyways, we're wrapping up. It's been a heck of a night for me, and I'm playing with the studio and everything else. Please tell your friends, www.thedailydrift.com. It's a good aggregate news site. I go out to find the news that you don't find everywhere else. It's more conservative slanted. So if you're not happy with Drudge lately, because it seems like Drudge has gotten a little toward the left, make sure you go into the www.thedailydrift website. Check it out. You can put your email in and get it delivered to your inbox. And you can always reach me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com. If there's things you'd like to see on the Daily Drift or things you'd like to discuss on the show, let me know, Gary at thedailydrift.com, and we'll get there. So thank you very much. I appreciate you guys tuning in, and hopefully we'll see you again next week. Take care.